mine, M-I-N-E, which means it's mine. It's yours. It's ours. Sacramento Bee just did an article, and they called it Jefferson's State of Mind because they don't pay attention to anything. Anyway, I am here broadcasting live from KCNR, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM. If you've got a question or a comment, 530-605-4567. My name is Terry Raposa, and I'm here with Travis. How you doing, Travis?
Good morning, sir. I'm doing pretty good. Wonderful subjects today. It's going to be a good show. I can feel it. The first show was great.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
Yeah, you guys got to listen to Matt Nemo. I mean, he's on Week After Next, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he's on every other week. Amazing, amazing young man. And really tells it how it is, you know. He's really somebody who doesn't, you know, pull any punches. He really tells it how it is. And a veteran, wonderful young guy. And I really like his show anyway. Hey, Winster, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing good, man.
Yeah, Matt's show, I like that. The music is awesome.
he does a great job.
He does a great job. And, you know, like I said, he's great to listen to because, see, the thing about Matt is he'll speak from his heart. Matt is unafraid, and you got to love that. You know, just this week, there was an article in the Sacramento Bee by Ryan Sabalo. Now, Ryan Sabalo used to live here in Redding. He called my wife and I and asked us to be interviewed by the Sacramento Bee, and I told him no. And the reason I told him no is simply because of the fact that every time we've done an article, isn't that right, Wynn?
Yeah.
Every time we've done an article in the Sacramento Bee, they have twisted it, turned it, yanked it, squeezed it. I know Mark Baird will not do anything with him. So anyway, he called. And then he called again, and he was trying to, you know, hey, well, we can get together with you and Sally. I'd like to get together with you and Sally, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I suggested a few people for him to interview, which he did. And, you know, just told him I wasn't going to do it. I remember being on there with James Gallagher. That was my first taste of the Sacramento Bee. This was back, oh, I don't know, 4 years ago. And Assemblyman Gallagher and I were on the steps of the Capitol talking about Jefferson representation, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, they took that out of context. They took James out of context. They took me out of context. The thing is that these guys just, I mean, if they're opening their mouth, they're twisting something. So every time they open their mouth, you can be guaranteed that it's not going to be right what they said. And, of course, one thing I did say to Ryan was, you know, hey, it's not secession. So this time he said it. He didn't use the word secession. But he keeps going back to the same thing that this started in 1941. No, it didn't. It started in 1941. It's a totally different issue. And, frankly, folks, we need to start paying attention to what's going on the radio, what's going on Facebook, what's going on the Internet, what's going on in the country, thank you, James Gallagher. I know you're both going to be shocked to hear me. Thank you. But point being is you guys did a good job. They went in there, hung out, and we have someone with us, Wynn Carpenter, my partner, who was in the courthouse. Give us a little background on what was going on there, buddy.
Well, to start with, we to give background of the day, we left here early in the morning, went down to Yuba City. And that is the home county. It's Sutter County. That's the home county to Gallagher. And it's in his district. And he and Kylie kind of judge shopped a little bit and found that they could have their trial there against Newsom. So they brought their claim against Newsom about all kinds of good stuff. There's a list a mile long.
Oh, yeah. 18 counts, something like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I don't recall all the counts, so I'm not even going to hazard to mention them. But suffice it to say, it's unlawful stuff that he's doing. They're just trying to correct everything and to stop all the madness. And so anyway, we got down there and hung out with a bunch of patriots, and then they saw this little white box sitting on the corner of the landscaping wall, and it said for the trial. So I thought, okay, so I threw my name into the trial or into the box. And what happened was the deputies that are guarding the courthouse and everything else out there, making sure everybody's being peaceable. Of course they are, because they're patriots, right? They're not anything other than that. And so everybody was doing a good job of, you know, doing their chants and talking and having a good time and just showing their patriotism out there. And there were a lot of people. How many people do you think there were? Probably 500 people out there?
Oh, yeah, there was 500 people out there. And I know when we got there, it was around 10. Were we there about 9:30, 10 o'clock. I don't remember.
9:30-ish because it started at 10. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it was 9:30-ish. We were there, and there were people that were coming and going, and people that were leaving. In fact, we got our parking space because somebody left.
Yeah.
So they'd been there since 8 o'clock in the morning. So I think a lot of people showed up. The Angels had a little bit of a rally there.
Yep. Yep.
The Freedom Angels and our friends. And there was some stuff going on out in front that was very good. They had some music, really nice music, actually. They had some speakers, and I think it all started at 8 o'clock and went till about 9 o'clock with the speakers, and then after that it was just music. But anyway, when we got there, Wim was able, you put your name in a box or something?
Yeah, put my name.
Tell them how you got in there. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, put my name in the box. And it's for what they do is they drew names for people to be able to go into the courtroom. And so there were 11 seats available, and lo and behold, I was number 11.
It was great. Just seeing the look on his face. He's holding the Jefferson flag, his Jefferson shirt with his Jefferson hat on, and he's holding this flag, and all of a sudden, Wim Carpenter. It was really kind of cool. And you went in there. You were wearing your hat. So if you got in trouble twice, I'm really proud of you. Tell them about that.
Well, you know, you get into the building. They do the usual scan down, you know, and they make you empty your pocket so they can scan everything you own or whatever, make sure you're not going to be a terrorist of some sort, since that's what we all do, right? We're all terrorists. And we had so many actions like that here in our area. Anyway, you still have to comply with that in order to get in, which is baloney. That's on a personal note. Anyway, went in, got into the courtroom, and walked into the courtroom, and the bailiff, this is all before the judge comes in, she kind of barked at me and said to take my hat off. I was like, oh, didn't even think about that, so I took my hat off, and then I was looking around. It's a nice new courthouse. It's really nice. They did a good job of laying it out. It's, you know, the decor is nice. It's a clean, nice new courthouse there, and I was impressed with it, and I'm thinking, well, maybe that's what Shasta's going to have. I don't know. We'll see what happens when that ever gets done. And so I was just kind of admiring the courtroom itself because it was very well laid out and it was nice. And all the plastic, they roped a series of all the rows of the seats, they roped them off, and then they'd leave a vacant seat available so that they were all, you know, compliant with this COVID baloney, so that you're, you know, 10 feet away from somebody else next to you or whatever. And so there were 11 seats in that audience, and actually there were 12. And there was somebody else in there that was prior to that. I don't know if they were the media or who they were. But anyway, I recognized all the people, the names that were pulled prior to me going in. And so I got the very back corner. As you're looking from the judge's bench, I'd be on the back right-hand side in the very back corner, which is perfect for me. I like being in the corner anyway. That way you can see the entire room. And so anyway, got in there. And so then I raised up my camera, and I took a couple pictures, and then the bailiff barked at me again. So that was the last time I got barked at. I was like, you can't take pictures in here. It's like, oh, okay. Well, I just did. But I didn't take pictures of people. I took pictures of certain things in the room. And if people happened to be in it, well, that's, you know, whatever. But I wasn't taking pictures of the people intentionally. So anyway, then the judge came in and started the process. And throughout the process, I believe, just by what I heard, the manner and within the mannerisms of the judge and the interaction of the judge with both sides, the attorneys representing both sides, it leads me to believe that she's in favor of what Kylie and Gallagher are doing. Now, just because I say that doesn't mean it's going to happen. So it's just the way things were coming out in conversation. She would ask them questions, and they had good, solid answers, and they had facts and information, and they had binders, stacks of binders in front of them, and they were able to articulate what they were going for, why they were doing it. They were able to cite all kinds of information, and she affirmed what they were citing, and then she would take notes. And so, like, if you're hearing the recordings of this interaction between the attorneys and the judge, if they fade in or out, it's because they're like the judge, when she fades in and out in conversation, it's because she's turning away from the microphone, because as she's talking into the microphone, she's facing the crowd, if you will. But then she'll turn to her left to look at all the paperwork on this side desk, and she's still talking, but then she fades out. So that's why you end up hearing her fade in and out. Attorneys, Gallagher and Kylie, when they're talking, they Kylie has a higher-pitched voice, so that's Kylie, if you're listening to the recordings trying to figure out who's who. Gallagher has a lower, softer tone to his voice. But Gallagher was always ready at the will to, you know, speak. He was ready to speak at all times, so he was close to the microphone. And then Kylie, he would just barge forward right at the microphone and just project it really loud. So it was like that in the room as well. So you could definitely tell. You could hear everything he was saying. There was no doubt about what he was saying.
Right.
And it was the case itself, as I'm sitting there listening to all this stuff go on, and hear what they had to say, it paralleled our court case in Sacramento when we went through the federal case for State of Jefferson suing the state of California, our very first court case, in that their attorneys, not their attorneys, but Kylie and Gallagher, representing the people, basically, and the state's attorneys, were very different in their approach. Kylie and Gallagher had oodles of information. They cited information. They had lots of dialogue and discussion. And then the state, when they were asked to respond to something, they had very little to say, and they had very little to present. So that's exactly what happened to us. When I say us, Jefferson, that's exactly what happened to our court case when we were in Sacramento. Our attorneys were Johnny on the spot. They had a lot of information, lots of dialogue, lots of interaction with the judge, even interaction with the other side. But then the state's attorneys had very little to say, and they had very little to present.
Right. And just so everybody knows, people may not be familiar with the case. It's basically about the separation of powers. The case is about what Gallagher and Kylie had brought forward is the fact that the executive branch exceeded its power. In other
trying
words,
to make law.
Trying to make law, yeah. Or statute, which is
statute,
law.
Say, yeah.
And so that was the issue of the court case. Now, one of the things that was really interesting, and then we'll go to break, and we'll expound on that when we get back, but one of the things that was really interesting is that Kylie and Gallagher wanted to file an injunction, which would make a lot of this stuff moot in a lot of the things that, a lot of the executive orders, et cetera, because that injunction is something that you have that says, okay, you can't do this until we sort it out. In other words, everything stops until we sort it out. So all this stuff would have been stopped that's going on, all this craziness with COVID and all this other crap, especially with all this stuff that Newsom is doing when it comes to basically using his executive powers and overtaking not only the legislative branch, because he can't pass statute, he can't pass law, only the legislative branch can, and also the court system. So that being said, the injunction, if it were to happen, everything would sort of stop until the judge makes a ruling. Now, the other thing that was interesting, and I'll say this, and then we'll go off to a break, is that the governor asked for a stay. Now, a stay means that to the judge can say, okay, we aren't going to bring this back for a couple of weeks or whatever, and I'm going to do that. We're going to have a stay here. Well, the deal is that she didn't give the governor his 2 weeks. Now, she also didn't say yes on the injunction. However, Kylie and Gallagher, very smart. What they did is they had written one out for her as a suggestion of what she could use in this injunction and how that could go.
Had all the work ready for
her. All the work ready for her. And frankly, when judges get work for them done, they're really appreciative. And she did take it. Now, she did accept it. She said, oh, that would be nice to have, basically. So we'll stay tuned, but we do have to go off to a break, our first break. Phone number here, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Time has come.
For 51.
We need to get it done.
Amen.
Up in the hills of Northern California, we believe America is the home of the brave. What we got is earned by...
Why is the new Sleep Number 360 smart bed your answer to better health and wellness? It's proven quality sleep. Any more questions?
Yes, I'm always freezing and he overheats.
It's temperature balancing so you can sleep better together.
But can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable.
So I'll have more energy for yoga.
Yes, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep.
Namaste.
Namaste to you, too. And now save up to $1,000 on the new Sleep Number 360 smart bed and adjustable base, only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. Boy, was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge.
In a nation that cries for justice, Pacific Justice Institute urges churches to encourage their members to vote for candidates and positions that uphold biblical justice, including for the unborn. Visit pji.org.
Learn more about our ministry and get exclusive email updates by registering for The Legal Insider at pji.org.
Mysterious and spooky, they're all together hooky, the Addams Family. Their house is a museum, when people come to see them, they really...
Sally?
I think I was Travis.
You got some explaining to do.
I think I was Travis.
No, I was reading the email and I was like, okay, this list is interesting, so I'll go along. It's my job.
Never mind, honey. It's Travis's fault.
I'll accept it. You're right.
It's because we're covering in on Halloween. It'll be next week. So she had to be festive on that one.
Wynn has some more insight on something that I think is pretty cool, but it was an observance he made. And Wynn, you want to tell folks about that in the court case?
Yeah. As you're sitting there, you realize that all three branches of our government for the state of California are represented in that room at that moment. You have the judicial, you have the executive, and you have the legislative. And how often does that happen? Not sure. I don't know. I mean, it may happen all the time. I don't know. But I got to witness it. And it's like, okay, yeah, you're talking about the executive fighting against the legislative, which is the people, and the judge has to, you know, adjudicate this whole show. A blank show. Anyway, she has to go through the process and hopefully follow law and do everything that she's supposed to do and do it properly and do it timely. And we may not get the response that we're hoping for, but we can always – it does not hurt by any stretch of the imagination to pray about it. So hopefully she will be wise and do the right thing. She did not kick out anything that the legislative branch was bringing forward against the executive branch. And so she was very, like I said, her responses to them was very positive in my mind. Just by hearing what they were saying, hearing the interactions and the dialogue, she didn't dismiss or say, no, you can't do that. Because, you know, judges will flat out say that if depending on what their leanings are. But maybe she's just playing nice the whole way through, thinking I'm not going to do this and just do whatever she's going to do at the end. She was supposed to, according to what I heard, maybe not so much in the courtroom, but what I understood it to be, was she was supposed to make a decision that day. That was the plan. And I think that Kylie and Gallagher were disappointed that she didn't, but they were prepared that she didn't. They were prepared just in case. With everything they had, they were ready for it. That's why they had everything for the injunction and, you know, trying to get around all that. So they were ready, well prepared, very articulate. They know what they're talking about. They know what they're doing. And I support those guys 100% on what they're doing. They did a stellar job. And they were professional, very professional. The other side, however, was very quiet and just, you know, didn't really say a whole lot. They would answer questions when they were asked, but they didn't have a lot to offer. So other than that, and I was disappointed too. I understood, maybe I was being naive, but I understood that the governor was supposed to be there. I didn't realize it was just going to be his representation that was going to be there. I naively assumed that he was going to be there, and he wasn't, because, you know, it would have been nice to see him sitting there in a courtroom and be able to critique him the whole way through too, but I didn't get that opportunity, so... Maybe down the road we'll get that chance.
Yeah, you know, we're going to at one point discuss some things about the state of Jefferson that I think need to be brought to light big time and in a good way. But I think, do we have Richard Gallardo on the line?
Yeah.
Is Richard. Hey, Richard, I was just going to cue you. I'm glad you got on. Richard has some new counts in his citizen's arrest of the Boards of Supervisors. You want to give us the scoop on what's going on, brother?
Yeah, so the arrest paperwork has filed over 21.
We're breaking, breaking up, Richard.
You're cutting out completely, buddy. Start over.
Okay, I'm on Wi-Fi. How's this now?
You're better now. You're better now.
Go ahead and speak up.
Okay, I finalized the arrest paperwork with the deputy October 21. I added additional counts. No additional new charges. As in new violations, however, additional counts of the original violations.
Gotcha.
So we're over 400. We are over 400 now. So it should go to the DA's office in 2 to 3 weeks. And again, the DA better recuse herself. So a deputy DA should be seeing those. And if I could just review a point that I mentioned on Matt's show, we're trying to exhaust all of our peaceful remedies in order to redress our grievances with our government. And this arrest was necessary. It had to happen to check off the boxes. And obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with it, but we're checking off the peaceful boxes. The next box to be checked will be what the DA's office does with this arrest. And if she forwards it then to the courts, and then that's going to be another box to see if we get crooked judges involved. That's going to be another box on the peaceful side. And in the end, I may not get what I want out of this arrest. However, everything that happens, every person involved, government official, judge, it does not matter. Everybody involved will be publicized, and their involvement and their decisions made in this entire process, because we're going to hold them accountable one way or another, preferably in a peaceful manner.
We heard that, and I want somebody to call in or get on the chat room and verify this, that Shasta County did not move to purple. That Shasta County did not move to purple. Can somebody verify that, maybe in the chat room? We heard this yesterday. We saw it on a blog, on Facebook. Maybe somebody can verify that.
Well, Les Bob, one of the Board of Supervisors, District 5, put out on Facebook that we were staying in the red versus going to purple, or going back from purple to red.
Yeah.
So,
and if I have a chance, maybe after the break, I have a story on not wearing a mask and being rejected into jury service this last week also.
Well, I want to. While we're on this subject, and before we go to the break, and that'd be fine, Richard. That'd be great. As a matter of fact.
Okay.
The thing is that I want to bring up the Sacramento Bee article. Now, and I had mentioned earlier in the program that my wife and I were asked by Ryan Sabalo, who's the, I don't know what you call these guys, reporters, journalists, liars, I don't know. Anyway.
Writer.
Writer. Anyway, so he wanted to interview Sal and I told him no. And I told him no because all the interviews we've done with them, they've always twisted, including Mark Baird. In fact, I did one with James Gallagher, and they twisted that. You know, James and I, everything we said was twisted. So I told him that. He said, oh, well, you know, I used to live up there and blah, 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 blah. And I said, hey, you know, here's the deal. Deal is that, you know, you can interview some other people. I suggested some. He did interview some of the people that I suggested. I said, but I will not do an interview with the Sacramento Bee. Now, in his article, he did interview Mark Kent and Patrick Jones, Woody Clendenin, and Carlos Zapata. Now, here's the odd part. He painted us like we were a bunch of right-wing extremists. He painted us that we were people who are ready to lock and load. And he painted us that way. And, you know, then he took the opinion of, I don't know, I don't even know, some online thing. It used to be Donnie Domke, then it was Donnie Greenberg, then it's Donnie Chamberlain, then it's Donnie, I don't know, Bluebird, whatever her name is. Anyway, so she was saying how a lot of these people that want to stand up for their rights, basically, and say, hey, government, we're not going to take this anymore, something to do with the fact that they're in their underwear in their parents' basement or something, I don't know. Anyway, that was one of the comments. Of course, she was put in there. But, you know, the real deal is that, you know, Carlos got 25 million hits. 25 million hits. He's been on InfoWars, what, 3-4 times? 25 million people watch that.
Do you think it resonates
with
the
people? So who gives a crap what some little online you know, thing does? But yeah. Number one. Number two, who doesn't have their facts straight? And so when you have all this going on and you have a situation where the Sacramento Bee is out and out just basically showing us to be militant in SOJ, you know, to a degree, Woody Clendenin also was interviewed.
Yep.
You know, Woody, who is probably one of the most stellar people I know. I mean, he's
a great man.
He's a great man. I mean, Woody is a guy, you know, he's a God-fearing, great family man, businessman. You know, Patrick Jones, great man, you know, business owner. Janet Chandler, the reason that we directed this character to Janet Chandler, she's the one who helped write the Constitution for the state of Jefferson, a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant woman who has the credentials. We're presenting facts. The thing is that we're just not going to take this anymore. You know, Newsom, you better hear us. We're not taking it anymore, period. We're not taking this crap anymore, and we're going to come back with some of the things that we're going to do in Jefferson and with Richard Gallardo after the break, because time has come
for 51
and we are going to get it done.
Amen.
CNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 7 with the Sue McClain News Hour. I'll have your up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding roots, pop culture, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Travis?
Yes.
Travis?
Yes.
Come on, this isn't what you're normally used to working on. We're a little more cutting edge here, you know?
This is pretty cutting edge right now, right?
Yeah.
Here.
You weren't even born when this song was written, probably.
78.
Yeah, you weren't even born yet.
No. Monster Mash.
We love Travis. Well, we're back here, and Wynn has some kind of breaking news. So, Wynn, you want to give him a synopsis on the breaking news? I guess Shasta County is in red, and Wynn's going to explain that right now.
Yeah, this was a press release given out by the Shasta County Health and Human you know what I'm saying, Health and Human Services Agency on the 24th. And in a nutshell, it says Shasta County gets green light to stay in red tier. And so the politicians are giving each other credit for it. They're not owning the fact that, you know, it's the public, you know, the taxpayers, their employers that have kind of pressured them into this. So they're all giving each other kudos and back rubs on this article. So not literally, but figuratively.
Well, maybe.
Maybe. Who knows what they're doing. But,
bad picture.
But it was done late Friday, according to Dr. Galley, who was with the state. And so anyway, we're going to stay in the red. I don't understand why we are completely colorless. Why don't they remove the scale completely? Why are we under all this hot mess?
You know something that might have prompted that? There was a question asked by Comanche and asked by Lesbaugh. It seems as if there's a lot of tests during the week at these two locations, and it seems that the same people are being tested. So in other words, if you have 70 cases, could that just be 20 people being retested 3 to 4 times? Now, Ranstrom and Ewert wouldn't really answer the question directly. So what happened is that Comanche and Baugh tried to reframe the question. We've all heard this before on Senate hearings and stuff. Well, the guy doesn't quite answer it the way he should, or, you know, and then you rephrase it to see if you can get them to just give the answer to the question.
Yeah.
It was a simple yes or no, pretty much. But anyway, there were tests where someone would be positive, then they'd be negative, then they'd be positive again. Same person. 3 tests. And I think a lot of this stuff is starting to leak out on really what's going on. And, you know, when Carlos and Woody and all the folks start talking about the fact that, you know, we've had enough. And you're talking about good, law-abiding citizens.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had enough. Now, Richard, you said you wanted to add to something about what your case, or what was it you wanted to add, brother?
Well, no, I just had a quick story about going into jury service, being refused entrance to jury service because I would not wear a mask nor fill out a piece of paper. I think my mugshot is probably behind every county office now and right next to their panic alarm. So, yeah, I know I went in for jury service. The deputy, you know, getting screening everybody, said, well, you can't go without a mask, and if you need to have a fill out a form if you can't wear a mask. And it was a form to request an American with Disability accommodation. And I said, I don't need an accommodation. I don't want an accommodation. I just want to go in for jury service. He said, you can't go in without the form or a mask. I said, well, I'm not doing it. So are you refusing me entrance? So then I started my phone video recorder. So, Deputy, are you refusing the entrance into jury service because I'm not wearing a mask, I refuse to wear a mask, and I refuse to fill out a piece of paper? And, of course, then he gets on the radio, I need a supervisor, blah, 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 and he hands me the form. He says, can you go stand outside? I'll bring in the ADA coordinator. I said, great. Hey, I got a whole day off, right? So I'll sit. So she comes out. Her name's Anita. She's very polite. However, you know, she was using talking points and everything. She's being told, she's doing what she has told to do. And she says, well, you need to fill out this form. I said, yeah, that's the third time I've heard that. You don't need to keep repeating it. I said, I don't want an accommodation, don't need an accommodation. And she said, well, that's the only way you can do jury service is to fill out this form and put down your medical information while you can. So now, Anita, you're telling me the government is going to force me to disclose a medical condition in order to go in and serve jury duty. Is that what? No, no, no. I said, that's a HIPAA. She says, no, that's not a HIPAA violation. I said, absolutely it's a HIPAA violation because you're forcing me to disclose something that I don't want to disclose. And then so I don't want to take too much more time. So what I put on a piece of paper was I refuse to disclose any medical condition in order to serve for jury duty, period. And that's all I put on the form with my name and my juror badge number. And I said, this is all you're getting, lady. So can I go in or not? And by the way, of course, I'm audio recording this conversation, and she knows about it. And I said, just so you see, I'm recording this conversation, Anita. And then she says, well, yeah, you can't go in. This is not an adequate reason to not wear a mask. I said, hey, you do what you got to do, Anita. I said, I showed up. I want to serve. I'm here to serve, and you're refusing the entrance due to a lack of a mask or lack of proper verbiage on a piece of paper. And I said, okay, all right, well, am I excused for the day? She says, Well, I'll process this for a deferment. I said, you do what you got to do, lady. I'm here. I showed up. I've done my duty, and now I'm going to go home. And that's what happened. So, but I've heard other people have objected to the mask for jury service very recently, and they have been allowed in without a mask. So I'm just wondering why they're harassing me. Any ideas?
Well, I don't, you know, the thing is that the first thing they try to do is make light of you, and they try to discredit you, and they try to make people think that, you know, this character, who's he? And Jake Mangus did that on Carl Bott's show, and I thought that was, well, beneath anybody, frankly. You know, the minute that they started talking about the citizen's arrest, and then Jake laughed it off, and then, of course, Mary Rickard called in, and he told Mary Rickard, meaning Jake Mangus, that, you know, what a great job she was doing, and these people that go in and scream at her and yell at her. I've seen a lot of moms go in there. In fact, there was one young lady at the last supervisor meeting who was holding her baby. I didn't hear her scream. I didn't hear many other moms going in there scream. I didn't hear the three little kids that spoke at the last supervisor meeting scream. There were 300 and some odd people, I guess, that called in. They took public comment, folks, on Thursday at this special meeting from 9 o'clock in the morning till 3:15, and it would have still been going had not Mary Rickard asked Cruz if it was okay if they stopped public comment and if legally they could do that and it didn't violate the Brown Act. Now, the deal is that I didn't hear anybody screaming or yelling. And you know, Jake, you know, really and truly, this little political game that the Chamber of Commerce is playing has got to stop. Very disappointed in what you're doing, and very disappointing in your leadership in the Chamber of Commerce. Very disappointing.
Yeah. Well, hey, Rich, what you're saying is in compliance, because in the courtroom that I was in on Wednesday, the judge came in and she mentioned, she said, you know, we would like to have everybody wear masks, but if you don't feel compelled to wear one, then you're certainly not obliged to wear one. I was not wearing a mask. I took my mask off, and so did about four or five other people that had their mask on. And one guy came in and he was not wearing a mask. You could tell he was not about that at all.
Wow.
The judge did not wear a mask. The court reporter did not wear a mask. The two clerks did not wear a mask. And Gallagher and Kylie did not wear a mask, but the state side attorneys, they were wearing these custom fitted masks. So
do you think that the court, do you think the judge and the clerks and everybody had to fill out an ADA form to be in that room? Probably not, right?
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. One last comment, and I'm out of here. Still waiting for Jake Mangus to take credit for us staying in the red. Thanks, guys.
Oh, yeah, because he took credit last time, yeah.
No, of course they
always do
that.
You know, I can't believe it. I just, you know, to me, what's wrong with the business community that supports him? How can they support this guy?
Well, it's part of the wine and cheese crowd. You know, they get to rub elbows.
Yeah, because you know it's not everybody. I mean, probably I would say 80 or 90% of the businesses are just absolutely fed up with what's going on.
Absolutely.
You know, but the thing is that to...
And you can be in business and you can be successful without being in the chamber.
Right.
Just saying.
Yeah, or maybe there's an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should start another chamber. Chamber of Liberty.
There you go.
So anyway, we're gonna discuss a little bit about the state of Jefferson. You know, the thing is that we had this article written. It was basically on the state of Jefferson, this article that was written in the Bee. I forget what the title is, but it mentions Jefferson. You know, what's going on in Jefferson, I think is what it was. And, you know, let's talk about a few things that will change when we get Jefferson. First of all, your vote will count. Your vote will count because we are going to do something with the apportionment to make it so that the people that we elect actually have the opportunity to serve the people who elect them. So the apportionment will be smaller. We'll also have two senators per county. And the apportionment would be probably one for every 10,000 would be my guess in the assembly. Property laws are all protected. All our property rights are going to be protected. They're going to be protected because we are going to protect the United States Constitution. And we have a Constitution that protects a lot of things. We also have in our Constitution something called the Constitutional Compliance Committee, which will make sure that the representatives that we elect are accountable to their oath of office. They are in a position to where if they break their oath of office, if they violate the Constitution, they're gone. If they break the law, they're going to be prosecuted for breaking the law. They won't be exempt from the dozens of laws that the Assembly in the state of California and the Senate in the state of California are exempt from. Second Amendment will be protected. The Second Amendment, as of all the Constitution of the United States, will be protected because we know that the Second Amendment protects the rest. Now, taxes, a lot of times, taxes could be lowered. Some taxes might be eliminated. I mean, we may not even have a corporate tax. And why have a property tax?
Or an income tax.
Or an income tax. Okay, so taxes will be lowered at minimum. The school systems will come back because the school systems will be going back to the control of the county, not the control of the state. Also, we're going to have a situation to where we understand that we, the people, hold the power. And again, the Constitution that has been put together by these people, including Chris Ann Hall, thank you, Chris Ann and JC, they helped us with that. But the Constitution that is just about done has so many remarkable things in it. But, you know, when you look at a situation where we have so much corruption and other movements, I mean, well, you know, one movement, I think it's New California, they want to have like two assemblymen and two senators per county. That's not representation. That's called a unicameral government. How is that representation? You know, you're going to have areas where people need one thing. The same area may need several different things. So if you have only two assemblymen for, say, Stanislaus County, or in their case, Orange County.
Yeah.
So you have two representatives in your assembly that represent 4 million with an M people.
Yep.
Come on, man. I mean, you know, nobody. I asked people about if they knew what the word apportionment. They didn't even know what the word apportionment meant. And what are you going to do as far as the codification? And what are you going to do as far as the buildings? And what's happening? What legal process do you have, really and truly, other than platitudes? Hey, it's going to be better.
Better than what?
Hey, it's going to be better than California. It's going to be better. You know, I'm so sick of platitudes. Let's get into the facts about stuff. And I know sometimes facts can be a little boring. But, you know, the real deal is that when you heard Gallagher and you heard Kylie, you really had to take your hat off to them. They did their homework.
Yep. Amen. Okay, we need to go off to a break. And then when we come back, we'll talk with somebody waiting on the line. All right.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
KCNR 96.5 FM and KCNR1460.com and AM 1460 are honoring our veterans this holiday season by offering Operation Holiday Salute 2020. During the months of November and December, we are offering a discounted advertising package including one live appearance during Free Fire Radio for businesses that support our veterans. And the best part is, a portion of that package price goes to support homeless veterans. Call KCNR today at 530-605-4565.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Breast cancer affects approximately 1 in 8 women in the United States. It's the most commonly diagnosed cancer in women in California. There is also a 98% survival rate when breast cancer is caught early. Every month, perform a breast self-exam. And after the age of 40, have a mammogram and a clinical breast exam by a doctor. This message brought to you by Dr. Pamela DeNuca and Pace Cancer Center.
Hi, Rob Burrows here from Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. We'd like to thank all who participated in the Iron Soldier Riot October 4th. It was a great turnout, and you helped us raise funds necessary to feed veterans at the holidays and pay for shipping of packages for our troops. Special thanks to Steve McCarley and everyone at Redding Yamaha Sea-Doo, plus all the generous sponsors. At this time, we'd like to remind you to consider donating any leftover Halloween candy we can send to our troops during our Christmas packaging event. If you would like to donate leftover candy for packages for the troops or non-perishable food items for our holiday meals for veterans and families of those deployed, please call the Northern California Veterans Museum at 378-2280. That's 378-2280. 3780. And again, thanks for your generous support. That number again, 378-2280.
What a great band that was, huh?
Yep.
Okay, we have two people on the line. So, Mark, you're up. You were first. Is this Kemosabe?
Say again?
Yep,
it is.
It is. Good morning, Mark. How you doing,
hey,
buddy?
Hey, Kemosabe. How you doing? We didn't know which Mark it was.
Well, I guess I'm doing okay. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're better than fighting the fight, my friend.
Better than we deserve, that's for sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to address the Jefferson part of the show and remind people that 99% of what's going on in California is a diversion to cover up for the fact that you've lost your liberty already.
Yep.
No Second Amendment rights, no right to your property, no right to open your business, no right to go where you want, when you want, do what you want, no right to purchase products in places that have been restrained from opening by the China Wuhan bioweapons lab virus. You have a governor that instructs the judicial branch of government, and see if you can remember, three branches of government are supposed to be checks and balances against one another. So how does it work when King Newsom instructs the courts not to enforce state law or federal law, and the courts obey him? That is not a constitutional republic, and all of the rest of this is just the natural outflow from it. And the fact that your local officials are weak and sucking on the government dole and they're basically prostitutes for money and they're willing to take your liberty in exchange for getting that money is just normal. I mean, just look at history. Look back to old England. Look at every dictatorial paranoid king and every kingdom and socialist pest hole on earth, and you'll see exactly the same thing. So what you're seeing in California is no different than we've seen in 100 or maybe even 1,000 dictatorial paranoid regimes throughout history, and it is the natural offshoot of the people in disregard of their liberty who get fat and stupid and sit back on their couch and they're just happy with whatever the government flicks their direction. We need to stop that. Jefferson is the only way to do it. We're not going to do it by pleading with the governor in court. We're not going to do it by asking the legislature, oh, please, please give us some of our liberty back. We're begging you. We're not going to get it without a Second Amendment, that's for sure. There is only one way to regain our liberty, and that is get away from these madmen and power-hungry drunks in Sacramento. Get away from their spending habits. Get away from their tyranny. Get away from their communist tendencies and their socialist dictates to tell people how to live, when to breathe, where to walk, where to go, what you can and can't say and do, and by persecuting those who step outside that box. And the only answer to that is a state that has constitutional republics with smaller districts so that the people we elect are afraid of the people who elect them and will be in fear for their job every time they open their mouths and every time they go to vote on a bill. They will be afraid that people will vote the bum out of office if he doesn't stand for liberty. It's our only shot, and we don't have all day. This is cascading to a point that it will be unrecoverable without drastic action otherwise.
I don't know if you got a chance. I know you're not a fan of the Sacramento Bee, as I am not, and I don't know how much of the program you're able to hear, but they did, of course, another lying article about a lot of different things. However, I think the one thing that did get across is the fact that we're not taking this crap anymore. And I think people are already in a position where they're ready to rise up. And I really see this thing changing. And Mark, you've always been right about what you said. And folks, Mark has said 100 times, we need to get 100,000 people down to the Capitol. Mark, maybe you need to tell them one more time, brother.
Well, I mean, it just, I'm sorry, I wish it weren't the case. I wish that we could find justice in court. I wish that a lot of things were true that just aren't. But here's one thing that is true. We cannot be ignored if we show up in sufficient numbers.
Yep.
The fact that the same 500 people show up to Sacramento is great, and God bless those people, and I applaud their bravery and their patriotism and their willingness to work for this. But until the population at large realizes that they need to participate as well, we won't win. We need 100,000, 150,000 people to show up in Sacramento and demand liberty and not take no for an answer and not leave until we get it.
Amen to that.
That's the way to win.
Amen to that.
Anyway, God bless you guys, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Mark. Hey, and on that note, too, there was a when we were at the court date on Wednesday, there was a lady that I met from Riverside County. So she came all the way up from Riverside mm-hmm. to go to Yuba City mm-hmm. to be at that trial and to show patriotism. Good Christian lady. We talked for quite a while. Just a true patriot. And she's out there with her friends, and they're all out there, you know, praying for the safety of our state and our people. And they were real true patriots. And I just wanted to mention that, too. And I was happy to meet her. She's a very nice lady.
We have Nick on the line. Nick, we only got a couple of minutes, buddy. What's on your mind?
Well, the reason I called you, Terry, is you broke the story that there was a $60 million fund hidden someplace called Other. I called up Patrick Jones. I think he was on Bot's show, but he might have been on yours, and asked him where that $60 million was, and he referred to it as a rumored $60 million fund. I have emailed each one of the supervisors separately and asked them if there was one, yes or no. And I emailed Steve Morgan and Mary Rickert separately just this last week. I haven't got a reply. So I'm wondering, is there a $60 million fund or not?
Well, when we did break that story, if you were listening to the program, we didn't break it. Actually, Patrick came in and broke it. Let me finish,
that,
so. Nick. Nick, let me finish.
Finish.
So basically, there is an account where there is some money, and Patrick also came on our program last week, if you heard that, clarified a lot of different things about that there is money there, and if there isn't money there, why aren't they just out and out saying, hey, were you denying it? Why don't you deny it? The other thing is where did the 27% raise come for all the sheriff deputies, okay? Where did that come from? As you know, people were asking for... for the supervisor were asking for, you know, for a sales tax, you know, for all these different things because they had no money, they were broke, there just was no money. Gee willikers, there's no money, and did I say there was no money, and we need money, and all of a sudden the sheriffs get, the deputies get a 27% raise. Now, it's not a question of whether or not they deserve to get a raise or not. That isn't the question. The question is, we were broke, and now we're not. Now, there was some things, if you listened last week, and again, when we break a story, we break it on what somebody says. We did break the story, but the information was given by Patrick, and Patrick clarified a lot of stuff, and there is... some place where there is money. And when he mentioned the word other, he was talking about other because he, you know, what else would it be? Other, I mean, what other account is it? Now, there is some things that are going on and some things that will break and did break last week. If you would listen to the program, you would have heard
it. I did. Well,
he clarified it.
Is there a $60 million fund?
I just told you, Nick.
You don't know.
Well, no. What I said, is that what I said, what I said,
came up with.
You know, Nick, he came up with this figure, and he came up with it, and there's no denying that there's a large figure there. I don't know whether it's $60 million or not, because...
It could be more.
Could be more. We don't know. We know there's a fund. We know that because they came up with money. Now, if, you know, but I think it's kind of disingenuous of you to come on a program and say that we said, when what we did is we transferred the information. We passed the information along.
And Patrick was very clear that
right.
he didn't have proof of that. He was saying that he had contacts
right.
that had proof of
right.
that.
Well, I didn't
and so
mean that.
Well, that's kind of, and the other thing is, too, is I'm sure you believe everything the supervisor said. I'm sure that everybody, you know, believes what the supervisors say. I'm sure of that, right?
Well, they haven't said anything to me.
They haven't said anything, period.
They haven't said anything, period. That's
the
whole
point. They haven't confirmed it nor denied it.
They haven't. Why don't you ask them a real question, like where'd the money come from on a raise? How did you get millions and millions of dollars to pay the deputies who deserve a raise?
Assume that you did.
Pardon me?
I have to assume that you did ask.
Well, you know what they say about assuming. Yep. So the thing is, if you're asking questions, why don't you mail off an email, and maybe that'd be a really good resource. I haven't done it, no, because it's not my story. Patrick Jones.
Okay. Well, I heard the story from you, so I assume
you heard the story on our program. Right. That's what you heard.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well,
thanks, Nick.
Time is up. Thank you, Nick.
Well, time has come.
For 51.
We need to get it done.
Amen.
We all have to pay. It's not our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.